You turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3 is where we're starting. We're going to go to Acts chapter 4, Lord willing, Lord's help in this. We're taking a look at this word predestination, or any form thereof, and what it pertains to. We're at the point now that we've taken a look at that direct translation, if you will, the English word predestination. And we saw in Romans chapter 8 that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that ultimately will take place when we are taken to be with the Lord. We'll see Him as He is, and we'll be like Him. And so that'll happen then. I ask the question, what's happening in between? And then in Ephesians chapter 1, we took a look at the word there. It says that we're predestinated unto the adoption of children. We're predestinated to and obtain an inheritance. And so not only are we servants of the Lord, but we've been made joint heirs with Christ. We're the sons of God. Okay, and so it's been predetermined by our Lord that He would do that. We're just wanting to look at this and that we might understand the usage of this word and understand about the doctrine of it. It's I've mentioned that we learn in the scriptures by direct command, we learn by example, and then we also there is a spirit in the scripture that's at hand that we take what the Word of God is tells us directly. And in life and living, we take that and apply it to other things, maybe that Scripture doesn't directly talk about, but we know from what the Word of God has given us things that are right and things that are not right. But in that, we can take doctrine or points in the Scripture, and we can take and misapply them. And so we want to be careful about that. We don't want to take something that stands and is sure and is right and take it and apply it to another thing where it doesn't belong. And so we need to be careful about that. And so looking here and see what the word of the Lord says about predestination. So we're predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're predestined to be adopted and predestined unto an inheritance. Here in Acts chapter 3, we're heading towards Acts chapter 4, and now we've departed. We're looking at the same Greek word, okay, but it's not rendered here in our King James translation as predestination, but it's rendered in other English words, okay? And so we're going to take a look at how yet the same word that we looked at in Romans, we looked at in Ephesians, is rendered here in Acts chapter 4. We'll start in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, they go to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, Judaism's done. The veil of the temple's rent in twain, top to bottom, right? But they go ahead and go to the temple that they might pray and that they might witness to the people. It says here, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And so there's this man. He's lame, carried by his kin, his neighbors, his family somehow, there to beg at this gate of the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John go about to go into the temple asking alms. Okay, so alms are given for the sake of the help of others. And so he desires that help. He can't work. And so he begs, he sees them, and he's asking them for alms as they go in. And Peter, verse 4, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. So Peter says, look on us, look at us. And the man's thinking, okay, I'm going to get something from him. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This man had been touched by the Lord, hadn't he? Been touched by the Lord, used of our brethren to do so. It says in verse number 22, uh, In verse number 22 of chapter 4, it said that this man's above 40 years old. Okay? 40 years old. I need to adjust my note there to get the right chapter. So this man had been in this shape a long time. And it says here, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The work that they were doing, the preaching that they were doing, the ministry that they ministered was all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Because it was from him, it was by him, unto him. And so this man that was there, he was healed. And he was healed by the power of the Lord. The Lord used our brethren to carry this unto him, but it's the Lord that did it through them. And it said, and lifted him up, verse 7, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I find that interesting that he is lifted up with solid expectation that he will be able to stand and walk. And it says, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So Peter says, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reaches down and picks the man up. And as he picks the man up and the man is willing to rise up, he's healed. And that's something about the order that it is and that's there. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. We would probably scratch our heads and scratch our chins about one that would come into here leaping and walking and praising God, wouldn't we? But this man was thrilled to be touched by the Lord. You know, we've been saved. We've been rescued in a great way, haven't we? I mean, we've been saved from our sins and rescued from hell and this world and called to be a witness of the Lord. May we be a praising God witness for our Lord. May we be happy. Are you happy about your salvation? Are you happy about that? May Lord help us that we would be so. And the people saw him, verse 9, walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And so people are saying, wow, that's him. I just gave him something, or I gave him something the other day. And he is now up here walking around and leaping and praising God. He's walking, and he never has walked before. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They're, you know how people are. What's going on? How'd that happen? What got into him? He's lame. How's he up and walking? And he don't look lame a bit. I remember seeing his feet. I remember seeing how his legs were. They were all withered up and shriveled and everything. The man, as far as I can ever remember, never has got it. How's he doing that? How's he doing that? And it says, he held Peter and John. Do you think he was thankful? I mean, they were the means. It was the Lord that worked. But they became near and dear to that man, didn't they? And so all the people come up there, and when Peter saw it, another opportunity, like it was at Pentecost, right? When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. So Peter takes this and he takes the opportunity to preach unto them once again the Lord Jesus Christ. And why do you think, don't think that by our power or even by our holiness that it's caused this man to be healed. This has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but you know what you did with him. You denied him when Pilate was ready to let him go. Did Peter and John recognize some of those men that were there leading the crowd to talk down about Jesus before Pilate? Did maybe he notice some of the faces? John was well acquainted with those in the Sanhedrin, wasn't he? He was. The Scripture tells us that. That's the reason he was able to have entrance when our Lord Jesus that night was there before the council. He said, he goes on here in verse 14, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Barabbas, right? You wanted the murderer, the insurrectionist. You wanted him, the man that should have been brought to death for his wicked work and what he did. He committed capital offenses. But instead, you wanted him released, and you said, "Jesus' blood be upon us and upon our children." And killed the Prince of Life, verse number 15, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You killed him. You murdered him. But God's raised him from the dead, and we saw it. Verse 16. "And in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. We believe the Lord could heal him, and they indeed were impressed upon the Lord. Peter was impressed upon the Lord to do this. But it's by they totally defer to the work being of the Lord. They're just means. They're just the tools in the Lord's hands. "Whom ye see and know." You know this man. You know he was lame. You know he's been lame all these years. You know exactly where he sets up outside the temple. And you know he was lame. And now you see that by faith, which is by the Lord Jesus Christ, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You've seen it. And this is the power of Jesus. "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." Said, you're putting to death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was by ignorance. "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." So, he tells them here, you've done this, but the hand and the working of God is upon this. This is part of what's been told about what Jesus would be done and what Jesus would come to do. It's the fulfilling of the Scripture. It was told that Jesus would come and do it. Jesus even spoke about it himself, that he would die and be betrayed and give his life and raise the third day. He said, this is the fulfilling of Scriptures. He goes on and preach to them, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets." Once again, another reference that it was prophesied that Jesus would do these things. Not only that he would die and be buried and raised again, but that he'll come back. He'll come back. "For Moses truly said," I love this passage, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me." Moses spoke that. There's another prophet coming, like unto me. The Lord's going to raise him up. "Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Listen to him. As the Lord has told you to listen to me and what the Lord gives me, the Lord is going to raise up another prophet like unto me, and you need to hear him too. He said this is a fulfilling of the Scripture. The fulfilling of the Scripture. The fulfilling of the Scripture. They say it over and over again, make reference to it. The fulfilling of the Scripture. He said even Moses talked about it. Okay? "And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Are you here and not saved? You need to hear that verse. Because the prophet that Moses talked about was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did come. And everything that was said in the scriptures about that he would fulfill and do, he did. And we have no consideration that anything that he has said that he hasn't done, he won't do. He'll do those things too. And Moses himself says, and this shall come to pass, or the brethren say here, that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You don't hear Jesus. You don't hear his truth, his word, his gospel, his salvation through him. You'll be destroyed. You will be miserably destroyed in hell and the lake of fire for eternity. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, there once again it is, the word that has been, it's been told before, it's been told before. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. It's been told in advance, told in advance, told in advance. This is the fulfilling of it. You're right here at the fulfilling of it. And this man has been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus is the turner away of sinners from their iniquities. Life. Sin and iniquity will give you nothing but death. But Jesus gives life. And it's been told, and he came and did it. So now we come to chapter 4. And it says here, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Ooh, they got stirred up again, being grieved that they taught the people. It was grievous to them. Oh, it made them, they were cut to the heart, as it were. They didn't want what was true to be told, lest they would be found, even as the leaders, to be condemned themselves. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, they laid hands on them and put them in hold under the next day, for it was now eventide. It was laid onto the day when they took them. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed that day, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000 saved at the preaching of Jesus, having come and did what it was prophesied, written before, that he would do, he did. And it was by the power of Jesus that this lame man that had been healed, had been lame for 40 plus years, had been healed. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, so these guys would come together in the morning, and they take Peter and John and put them right there in the middle of them and ask, by what power or by what name have you done this? This healing that you've done? Tell us who you've done this. Remember how it was, what with the blind man? They'd said unto him, they said, God doesn't hear, or that man said, God doesn't hear sinners, and here he has, he's done this thing that's never been told before, and you don't know who he is. Okay, remember how that was? And they say, they urged him, give God the praise, give God the praise. And he said, whether this man be a sinner or no, I know not, but one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And he did it. Okay, that was the point. They said, give the glory to God, give the glory to God. Well, he gave the glory to the man that did it. And Jesus is God, isn't it? And that's the reason for that. And so That's the same tenor that these fellows are coming at Peter and John. By what power, by what name, verse 7, have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. It's by Jesus. It's by the Lord Jesus. He says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He said, you rejected him, but he's supreme. He is building his building. What you're yet holding to is done. It's done. The office of the high priest is no more. The meeting together of the Sanhedrin and the order of the priests and all that, it's done. It's over. Jesus has fulfilled all of that. And see, I see that in what Peter is saying to them. This is the New Testament. This is the new way. Jesus is building a building and building his church, and he's the cornerstone. You rejected him, but he is doing this work. He said, this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders. You should have lined right up with the prophecy and the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we'll see a reference to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when we go and chase this same consideration of this word, predestination, as we've seen it, and how it'll be revealed here in Acts chapter 4, we'll see a reference to that also. It said, you missed it. You missed him. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Redeemer. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they hadn't been through the classical teaching of the day. They didn't leave their native land and come to Jerusalem and study letters there and all that. They were common men, as would be say, that they were learned and ignorant men. They marveled. How can these fellows speak this way? How can they have their act together in the scriptures this way? How is it that how can their case be so compelling as it is? Well, the Lord's working in them, isn't he? And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They're some of his disciples. Directly, they said, we were witnesses of his resurrection. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Well, we all know that he didn't walk before. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we can't deny that. But that it spread no farther among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Now, all that preaching, that teaching and stuff that you've been doing, talking and deferring and referencing this Jesus of Nazareth, you cut that out. That's against our way. That's against the way of the temple. That's the way against the law of Moses. It was a fulfilling of the law of Moses. It was a full. But see, you cut that out. We don't want to. The healing, you can go on and heal, but you leave this Jesus character out of it. We want to hear no more about it. They threatened them. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you figure that out. Judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're witnesses. We're witnesses of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory. John said, we touched him. We knew he was in our midst. We saw him raised from the dead. We can do nothing but speak what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have been taught, what we have been touched by the Lord. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they put it on them a little bit more. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all glorified God for that which was done. This impotent man healed. Do you reckon the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the lawyers and the scribes and those guys in the leadership of Israel, you reckon they ever took notice of the man, the lame man? In that number of years, maybe even those decades that he had spent there at the beautiful gate, from time to time, being there begging for alms, you reckon they ever took note of him? But the Lord took note of him, didn't he? And praise the Lord, he took note of us. Amen. When we were unlovable, the Lord Jesus Christ took note of this sinner. And you would say, you say the same for yourself, you that are here and saved. He said, so when they had threatened him, had further threatened them, they let him go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. They couldn't speak against it. And so the brethren, they're always deferring to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about them. It's an example to us. Our ministry, our calling, our witness is always about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And then the other thing that you find right behind that is that they're always telling about what the Scripture says. It's about the Scriptures. It's about the Scriptures. It's about the prophecy. It's about the Scriptures. And that it was told and told and told that these things would come to be. And they witnessed to them. You're right here in the middle of it. And there it is. So we come now close to our passage, and we see here in verse 23, look at the reaction of our brethren. And may the Lord help us to understand, and may the Lord help us to take this example of the saints' reaction to threats and distress of men. May the Lord help us to take this. And they being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. You know what that would be like in our day? Let's say a couple of the brethren of our church, or myself and another brother in the church, we'd be hauled in by the police or some religious organization that quote, you know, thought this quote unquote religious organization that thought they had power to try to shut us down. And with the Lord's help and blessing, we would tell them the truth and stand for what the truth was, and they'd let us go. You know what this would be like? This would be like us calling a meeting and the church coming together, and we tell what happened. Now, can you put yourself in those shoes? We need to be ready and able to put ourselves in those shoes. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, prayers of the saints. They're going to pray. They're going to speak to the Lord, and they're going to glorify the Lord in what has been done and how the Lord has used them. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ helps you and sustains you to be a bold witness for Him, and there's even the threat of death, which none of us, at least I have not experienced that for the sake of Christ, and he blesses and he delivers in that way, the perspective gets right. And the understanding about who is working in and dealing with us gets more clear. And no wonder that they would go before the Lord and think about the beginning. Amen? Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, once again, the scriptures, right? Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain or empty things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. The world opposed him. The world stood against him. For of a truth, verse 27, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus. Boy, those are tender words, aren't they? Your only begotten Son. Holy child Jesus. I find those words interesting. Whom thou hast anointed. And boy, that's a big word, that anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Appointed, signed, sealed, and delivered. Whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. He stood alone. Of a truth, you appointed him to come, and the world stood against him. Here's our passage. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel, the word is determined before. Predestination. That's the word. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So, the predestination of the Lord applies to what God the Father, God Almighty, had determined that Jesus would come and do. Determined before. Even though the world stood against him, even though it was prophesied, they refer to Old Testament scriptures here in their prayer, don't they? That God had ordained that he would send his Son, and God knew that the world would stand against him. But you know what? God ordained that Jesus would come, and that Jesus would live, and that Jesus would die, and Jesus would be buried, and Jesus would raise from the dead for our salvation, for our justification. Determined before. Oh, why did the heathen rage? I mean, talking about running in circles, screaming and shouting. The religious leaders of the day, those Jews, they said all of Jerusalem is turning to him. He said, if we don't shut this thing down, I mean, the whole world is going to go after him. They were tore up about losing their place, to these 12 knotheads that go around with this man. They understood how it went with power and all that. If he's the Messiah, then those close to him are going to be the ones that are going to be ruling and reigning. We can't stand to have him get anywhere close to our little fiefdom and set up here. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Oh, we know. It's by the power of Beelzebub that he casts out demons. Talking about a vain thing. Talking about a vain thing amongst many others. So they pray to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, all this has been after your counsel, the coming of Jesus, his death. They are guilty for having done it, but you gave yourself. As Abraham said, the Lord provided himself a lamb, didn't he? He provided himself a lamb, and then he provided himself a lamb. Right? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Listen to what they're saying, Lord. You look at it. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Help us just to say what you've said. See how that is? See how plain that is? All we have to do is tell what the Lord has told. All we have to stand in is what our Lord has given us. We don't have to create anything on our own. We just need to stand in what we've been given. that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They got the answer to their prayer, didn't they? Got the answer to their prayer. Predestination. We see here in this account, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. The Lord determined before time that he was going to send his son. And you know what? He did. And you know what? Jesus is coming back, too. Are you ready for him to come back? Just as he determined to send him the first time, you think it's going to happen that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back the second time? When the disciples asked him, they said, what's a sign of that coming? Matthew chapter 24. He said, no man knoweth the day or the hour, but my Father which is in heaven. Just because the Father is the only one that knows. Jesus in his humanity, he doesn't even know when he's coming back. You think he's still coming back? Indeed he is. He's coming back. Because you know why? God has predestined that he is coming back the second time. He's coming back for us in the rapture. We see that in the scripture for his people. And then he's coming back to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Are you ready? It's not a fairy tale. It's not just some story, some religious crutch for us to lean on, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and King, and his great work.